Now live from EverBank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All right, welcome aboard. It is a Monday here brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt. Now, Tyler, we're taking some team photos today, right? As well as the individual shots. You and I have the same shirt. Mine's in the car.
Glamour
shirt. Okay.
Shots.
Tony has to stand out, right? He's got to wear something that makes him say, everyone, look at me over here, the unique individual.
There was no communication about shirts.
I just assumed because we always wore the same one all the time on the TV show, right, on CW17, and we always said, wow, this looks really good. And I remember remarking to him at the time, if we ever take some team photos, we should all wear this shirt, right?
No one said that.
I clearly remember saying that. Tyler got the memo. I got the memo. It's all good. Tony's going to be a standout.
For us being professional communicators, we don't communicate very well with each other.
Do we take one of you and I standing side by side and we hold Tony like across our bodies, you know what I'm talking about, like horizontally in front of us? Like that, can we pull that off?
I think we could pull it off, yeah.
Are we strong enough to do that?
We can make it, you know, 1 second, and all the photo has to be taken for, so I can do it for 1 second.
I may play like J.J. Watt with my groin torn off the bone for the rest of the season at that point in time. I'm not going to lift him, but if someone wants to gently place him in my arm,
sure,
I'd be happy.
Leap off the pool table that nobody uses.
By the way, do you think he has any kind of informed opinion here, Tony? Team Cap, Team Iron Man, who you got?
I'm going to go with Team Iron Man.
All right.
I'm just choosing. I'm just choosing one because I have to choose one.
All right, that's what I'm saying. All right. The conversation ended, and we move on. And much to the delight of everyone else out there, we will see. Trust me, when Civil War comes out.
There'll be a conversation Civil War
about that. The poll question's a popular one today already, and we ask you to weigh in on this. With the Jags traveling out to the West Coast to take in Miles Jack's pro day, or not pro day, to work him out. I presume work him out, Tony, to meet with him. You're not going out there unless you're going to get some, work done. You've already met with him in person. He had the medical recheck, but he's going to tell you, hey, I'm fine. I think they want to see him in action and put him through as much as he's willing to do and see if they can feel good about it. Clearly, he's on the board. I don't think the Jags are trying to throw up a smokescreen. At this point in time, you go to any collection of mock drafts, and about half of them, at minimum, will have Miles Jack going to the Jaguars. So, look, thank you, Miles, but everyone presumes that they're interested in him. I don't think you need to make this trip unless that's real. I think if he's on the board at 5, I don't care who else is there, he's under heavy consideration. The only question is, do they feel okay about the knee? We won't know that for at least another 10 days, but today we ask you, Miles Jack, Jalen Ramsey, Joey Bosa, Laremy Tunsil, rank them in the order of preference for your Jacksonville Jaguars coming up, and we'll get into that today. John Osier is going to stop by from Jaguars.com, the senior writer. We'll spend a little time with us here in the first hour. We'll get caught up on everything going on with the Jags. And Russ Landy, the director of college scouting for the Montreal Alouettes and a longtime draft nick in that community, will join us about an hour from now. And we'll talk about where things stand as the process pretty much played itself out publicly with the combine, with pro days. The boards are pretty much set. We'll get his thoughts on the blockbuster trade that went down late last week between the Titans and the Rams. Now the Titans said to move back up into the top 10. Tony, when you do the deal we discussed with the Titans before, we discussed it being from the Rams, when you take those two prior second-round picks from the L.A. Rams and trade back with the Titans, before we said we'd probably do it, we'd take 15 and those two picks in the 40s for the number 5 overall pick. When you do that, let's say Laremy Tunsil's sitting on the board at 5 and the Titans are like, hey, here's what we're going to give you. The same exact package of picks. Would you do it, or would you have to maybe consider not doing it simply because it's with a division rival?
It depends on what you feel like you like at 15. And if you aren't in love with Tunsil and those defensive players are off the board and you don't feel like there's that guy available to you, you'd just be taking a guy you like but not necessarily love. And you can probably get a guy you like and not necessarily love at 15. I'd seriously consider that deal.
Yeah, I think the question is, does it change your inclination to do it if it's now Tennessee making that offer?
Right?
At least it makes you look harder at it, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to set him up. Even if you say, wow, Tunsil may not be the perfect fit for us, but we think maybe he's the best player on the board overall, the highest pure grade. Do we want to hand him to a division rival and have to go up against him? That would be something I think you'd have to ponder very heavily. If you're trading with the Rams, it's a different story. You're not sure. Looking at that side.
But I wouldn't mind picking at 15 and then having three picks in the top, of the second
that.
Round. And
I would, too.
Spend one of those on Jalen Smith, no matter what else you may get there at 15.
Boy, there's a talk this weekend that he may last to the third day of the draft now.
No, I've heard that because his recheck wasn't good.
No, it wasn't good at all. And, you know, hey, I'd like to take three guys in the second round and spend that third round pick on Jalen Smith. How about that? That may be a little bit more palatable, but that's open for discussion as well. If you want to get in today, 641-1010, that's both the phone line and the text line, which is driven by Duval Ford. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler. And, of course, the Jaguars Today Facebook page is up and rolling. Question of the day, Ramsey, Jack, Bosa, Tunsil, however you want to rank them, however you want to order them, how do you prefer them for the Jags? Presume they were all available with the number 5 pick, and you can't trade down. How do you rank those players on your wish list for the Jacksonville Jaguars? That's our Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback question of the day. John Osier joins us in studio. Coming up next, it's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's time for Oh No's with Jaguars.com's John Osier.
Oh No's.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
Ah, it's a good way to start the week. Johnny Elvis in the house. John Osier from Jaguars.com, the senior writer on Twitter, at John Osier. And we're just talking about shows that are similar to The Walking Dead minus the zombies a moment ago. That's a conversation for the
ages.
The ages, and also, I was going to say, the Jaguars Today, supplementary podcast, which I'm sure will be starting up soon.
Yeah.
Here.
That sounds good. Yeah. Kind of a...
An addendum.
What's that show? The Fear of the Walking Dead.
Yes,
yeah, it's kind of the Fear of the Walking Dead
of the Jaguars Today.
If you're
universe.
Really into it, go watch that.
Right, and you could go back to the origins of the Jaguars That's Today right. program and see it from a whole different perspective. That's a good one, Johnny. I like that. How you
like
doing?
That.
Wild West
good.
Guns of Gold Monday.
Hey,
so you know you're happy there. You're all loaded for bear with your six shooters this morning. Jags.
See, I feel like you have an advantage here. I feel like you're on your home turf.
I am on my home turf.
You usually play at my house?
Yeah, I do, but I'm kind of comfortable over there,
yeah.
too.
Right,
you know?
Well, that's true. That's
I'm
true.
Comfortable when it's not leaking on my head. So
that's more of a neutral site over there. Here you got an advantage.
No, you're still there, but I've played there enough that the public is a little confused. Why is Dempsey batting in the top of the inning?
That's
sure about this. But nevertheless, good to see you. The Jags went to see Miles Jack this weekend, and understandably so.
Sure.
I mean, look, it's not there's no smokescreen necessary one way or the other on Miles Jack. He's a good fit for the Jags if he's healthy.
Right.
They should have interest in him. They do have interest. It's widespread believed that they have significant interest in him. You see him mocked to the Jags in so many of these mock drafts. So a trip out there or not a trip out there is not going to throw anyone off the scent here one way or the other.
Yeah, I mean, there are times where you do that, and I think there was certainly an element of that the year Blake was drafted, 2014, I believe it was, where they went to every quarterback pro day and made sure that they were at every one so that you didn't get an idea that they were favoring one over the other because they didn't want anybody to know at that point, at number three, what their thought was. Here, I don't think anybody really has any sort of feel. That year, you sort of assume quarterbacks, so you could target a little bit. This year, I don't think anybody really has a very good feel for if they like Jack or Ramsey or Bosa. But there's sort of a consensus that since those are the guys that are there, those are the guys everybody's talking about, and nobody's really said, nah, they're not interested in those guys, that those are the guys. So it makes sense that they were there. I don't think it gives you any sort of a feel one way or the other whether they like him, dislike him, whatever. They just, I think rightfully, kind of wanted to go look at this guy and see how he was with his knee.
A couple people today on the question of the day have done a write-in for DeForest Buckner somewhere in the midst of the list of players that we put out there. But, John, this is, since the trade went down last week, it's always been some maybe a smidgen of a percent of a possibility that Laremy Tunsil could slide for some unknown reason. But now it seems that it's really possible that if it goes quarterback, and San Diego opts to go with a defensive player, that Laremy Tunsil could be there two picks later for the Jacksonville Jaguars to consider. And so we asked folks today, with the three usual suspects of Bosa, Jack, and Ramsey alphabetically listed there, along with Tunsil, how they would prioritize them from a Jags perspective. How about you? I mean, how much does Tunsil push in, knowing the defensive needs in this team, but also knowing that probably he is the consensus top position player available? We don't know that he's Dave Caldwell's top position player, but how would you rank those four personally through your eyes?
Well, with the obvious caveat that even if you think, you know, and I've talked to Dave Caldwell, as have other people in the media in passing, et cetera, and I don't think after 3 years of being around him, if you really believe you have insight into what he's thinking before the draft, then
you may guess right.
Right, you may guess right. But so all that said, I think there's a better chance of Buckner than there is of Tunsil.
Okay.
Because
does Buckner top any of those other guys?
For me, no. But if you're just looking at value, if you're just looking at a guy who people are starting to think could be a long-term solid guy and you know he's going to be good, if it's the fact that they've got guys at the position already and that he's not really a perfect scheme-fit edge rusher that make you think, maybe not. In terms of talent, he's at the same guy's level. At the level of a Ramsey or a Jack. So that's why I don't think you can take him out of consideration. If Jack and Ramsey happen to be gone and it's Buckner or Tunsil, I'd be surprised if it's not Buckner.
We have Russ Landy coming on later today. Tony, wasn't it Russ who told us he felt, maybe confusing him, we've had so many of these analysts on, that he felt Buckner would be a perfect fit in the Red Bryant role in this Jaguars defensive line the way they want?
I can't remember if it was him or somebody else, but we've definitely had, I think, a couple people talk about him filling in that kind of role at that side, and I think he's the type of guy that gives you a little bit more pass rush from that spot, too. Then maybe it's not a position where you're like, here's a pass rushing defensive end for you, but if he can give you the run stopping that you need at that left end and rush the passer, then what's wrong with that?
Well, I said scheme fit. I guess I meant everybody's talking edge rusher defensive end.
I understand what you're saying.
He ain't that, obviously.
Right.
He would be
that left end in the Jaguars defense.
But from what you hear, he can rush the passer better than he's giving credit for.
For a guy who plays that way, who's more of a 3-4 end, he's a very good pass rusher.
Right, but he's not that Von Miller pass rusher.
He's
Everybody
not.
Knows that.
So. But is there that guy? I mean, some people say they think it's Noah Spence.
But not at 5.
I don't think at 5, and we'll circle to him in a minute. You know, people, though, were suggesting for a while, John, let's say no quarterbacks went in the top 5. This is prior to the trade, and if it went, you know, Tunsil and then a series of defensive players came off the board, the top 3 usual suspects, you know, a lot of people when we did this, fans were saying, hey, you know what? I'd roll the dice on Noah Spence. I don't think that's the case. I've had a question today on Twitter. Would I be in favor of the Jags trading back into the first round and getting Noah Spence? Well, it depends on how they feel about him. You know, I'm not breaking down the film on Noah Spence, but if they really like him, but I don't suspect that the Jags, that's a Jags move.
How about
they
this,
would make.
I had a reader this weekend say, why don't they take Ramsey and trade back and get Miles Jack? Now, that would be a draft.
That would be That would be a hell of a draft.
I told him to get some rest.
We don't have enough picks to get that done. There's not enough picks left for the Jaguars to happen.
And then and trade back again and get Buckner, and then trade back again and get
And we'll see in 2021 at the draft in LA in 2021.
Draft them all.
We have no more picks left.
Right.
What do you make of the Titans Rams pick or trade?
It's clear that the Titans got what they wanted in terms of being able. I don't know what own the draft means, but they got the number of picks in those early rounds, and they can stock their roster with a lot of good players if they pick right. But if you're the Rams and you're in a position where you feel like you need a quarterback, then that's the old credo in this league. You keep doing whatever you have to do to find a quarterback until you find one. So they went for it. I mean, it's if it works and who they draft is a great player, then everybody applauds this move for years. And if he's not, then they don't.
If he's a great player, but you know, you can also make the the point that Denver won the Super Bowl with some of the shoddiest starting quarterback play in the league all year long, really, when Peyton Manning was in there, certainly. And then they managed their way because on the strength of a superior defense and running game, and they do have some weapons in the passing game, certainly, but they couldn't utilize them fully. Whereas, you know, St. Louis has a pretty good defense of their own. They have an emerging running game with Todd Gurley. You can make that argument.
Generally speaking, unless we're at the point where there is a trend change toward the way Denver did it, generally speaking, your chances of putting yourself there over the long term, being there, your odds go up if you get that quarterback.
Granted, but you've got to believe that one of the – you can't just say, well, he's the best of this bunch, I don't think, and make that move. You've got to believe he is going to – and in any year has the chance to be a guy who is a franchise quarterback. I'm not saying he has to be the top guy on the board.
And I don't know if – again, when you talk and try to interpret things before the draft based on what people say – you're in a lot of trouble because you don't know what, how much is honest and how much is smokescreen. But I believe the Rams said, we did this so that we can spend the next 2 weeks figuring out who we want.
I'll buy that.
And if that's the case, boy, that's curious, because I don't think you do this if you're going after a quarterback. I think you have to do it if you're going after the quarterback you want.
Right. I think they know who they want, and I think they wanted to get there before Philadelphia or somebody else got there. You know, before Tennessee said, you know what, somebody's going to get cold feet. We're going to make a deal here sooner rather than later.
Because you would think at this point, if you're the Rams, whatever that next pick, they pick the third round, right?
What more
every effort
about?
Goes into the third round pick at this point, right?
2 weeks on these guys.
The film should be closed. And there should be no more.
You got it. You know who
paralysis
it is.
By analysis.
Who do you think it is, by the way? I think it's Goff.
It feels like that. I mean, that's what all you can do is read. All you can do is listen to the people who are close to the team, and that's sort of how it feels. But you know, who knows?
I don't know. But I just think it makes more logical sense than risking all that draft capital for a guy to play at a lower level of college football. And I get it. Quarterbacks have succeeded there. Unless you love them.
Right.
That is...
And would you trade it up for number one to go get Big Ben? Yeah, I mean, you never know.
I understand.
And it's a coach that had a lot of success with Steve McNair coming out of Alcorn State.
Right, that part, though, I don't know if I necessarily buy.
Does he like the more mobile guy, which Wentz is clearly the more mobile guy between those two?
I don't think has he ever gone out of his way to find another one of them? I don't know. Steve Young or Vince Young, but I mean, I don't think he ever was in love with him, and I don't think he's ever gone that route.
I think it points more towards Goff, too, but I think there are things that can point towards Wentz being that pick. There are a lot of people out there who just think Wentz is better.
Look,
he's just a better player.
It shouldn't matter to us. What should matter is whatever makes the number two pick more likely go quarterback, it should be what Jaguar fans
Which,
are in favor of.
It sort of feels like there is going to be another move.
Someone will slide up there to assure themselves.
This far out, you know, there is something to be said for the quarterback angst the teams start to feel, where you, at this point before the draft, you start getting edgy if you want one, that, I better go get one or they're going to be off the board. So it feels like it's a year where that's going to happen.
All right. He's John Osier with Jaguars.com, and we are continuing along here on Jaguars Today. We'll take your calls if you want to get in with Johnny O. If you've got a question for him at 641-1010, that's also the text line driven by Duval for Jaguars Today. We'll continue in a moment on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
I actually think Carson Wentz fits Jeff Fisher and what he looks for in a quarterback, more physical, bigger, stronger, guy who can run better. But I keep hearing Goff.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Toward McShay. That's
a great radio answer, isn't it?
Wentz is if it's Goff, he says, I told you I was hearing Goff. And if it's Wentz, I told you it was a better fit. Yeah, I told you I was a better fit. I didn't believe all what I was hearing. It's,
well done, Tom.
You know, and then there's this Paxton Lynch guy, and let me tell you about Connor Cook.
That's right.
While I'm at it. And, you know, you should also at least keep those guys in mind as the draft approaches. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, John Osier here with you for another 10 minutes or so before we cut him loose today and he'll head on over to EverBank this morning. John, a schedule release last week, and a lot of focus on the first four games, of course, because they play the Colts in London in week four, and then they'll have that bye. What do you make? The Colts requested of the league that the bye week not follow the London trip. Theirs is going to be, I think, week 10 later this season. The Jags clearly have made the trip, so they know what it takes to handle it and what it, you know, how much it takes out of you. And they didn't opt to make a request like that. So therefore your bye week comes a little earlier than ideal. What do you make of that?
Well, you've done London. I've done it three times. I don't play, but I believe it'll be a tough thing to go try to play a game the week after coming back from that. I mean, I just know how I feel after it every year, especially the first year you do it. It's a little different. So
tough getting up to type the next morning.
Well, as I recall, I was on the radio show on the Monday after you went and you weren't. So
yes, I was not. You're right.
So it was tough to do something for you.
I was probably playing golf. But, probably napping is probably
but
what
it,
I was doing.
I understand why the Colts did it, because that bye week at the end of the season is compelling, but I think it's very difficult to play the week after London. I think it will be very difficult to play. And they might win, but the toll that it takes, I think there can be a toll long term from not recovering properly from that trip.
In reality, there would have to be something approaching absolute catastrophe, anarchy, rebellion, to me, for Gus Bradley to lose his job in season. Okay, I just think that they've stuck with him. I think they will give him 2016, and they will measure 2016 as a whole when it's all said and done. That being said, in order to tamp down the pitchfork and torches crowd, okay, the first four games, you got the Packers coming in, you go to what's always been a difficult place for the Jags to play in San Diego, the Ravens at home, the Colts in London. When you saw the schedule, what were your initial impressions of that first month, and what do they need to do to keep the Wolves at bay?
Well, my thought was, if they're truly improved, which I believe everybody in the building thinks they're going to be, and I think they will be, they clearly need to win during that stretch, because I get that people don't consider London home game, but for the purpose of scheduling, that's three out of four home games. So you need to win against what on paper should be a pretty manageable stretch of the schedule. Green Bay is obviously tough there, but you're getting them at home. But San Diego's picking before you, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. And they were picking before you based on the team that they put on the field last year, which did what? Which threw it all over the lot on you.
If you're improved, you're supposed to be able to get through that stretch of the season.
I understand,
bare
but
minimum
don't all four of those teams expect to be improved as well?
Sure. But at some point, you got to do it.
I understand. I agree with you. I'm just, you know, so 2-2, is 2-2 an acceptable start? I mean, it doesn't matter, because it is going to be what it is, but do you think the majority of the fan base will be placated with a 2-2 start?
I don't know how to answer majority of
your opinion. You hear from these guys all the time.
The pitchfork crowd's not going to be.
Right.
You know, I think it depends. No, they won't be placated, because they never placated.
All right. 4-0?
4-0 might.
Maybe.
Might placate
them. If they win by 21 each week?
It'll placate them unless the opponents score.
Have you done the whole the game-by-game win-loss, win-loss, win-loss thing? We already know who the opponents are, being the point.
Yeah, I really haven't. I mean, I think I looked at this schedule, and I saw a very manageable schedule. The toughest stretch to me is that stretch right at the start of December, I think it is, where you've got Minnesota, Denver back-to-back at home. And then I think Texans are right after that or right before it.
Broncos, Vikings, and then at the Texans.
That's tough, because that's a couple really good defenses, or three really good defenses coming here in a row.
Yeah, three consecutive division games. So if you can just stay within striking distance in the division, you're going to have a chance to close out the season on your terms.
If they're the team they were last year, and the offense isn't more efficient, if it's not better picking up third down and scoring in crucial situations, and if the pass rush is still incapable on third down, then this is a 5-11, 6-10 schedule. If they're better than that, then they can get to 500 and see how much better they can get from that.
All right.
But they have to be better. They weren't good enough last year to be better.
True.
I mean, right. Yeah. So you have to, all of this speculation is based on the fact that I believe the pass rush will be minimum better than it was with Cinderic back and Fowler and Malik Jackson. There's no edge rusher, you know, per se.
Well, that's supposed to be Fowler. It's supposed to be one of them.
No new edge rusher.
I understood. Guess, you know, well, I mean, he is new in a sense, but I got you.
If that's marginally better, then the defense is significantly better.
Top five draft needs. Now, you look at what some of the pundits say, it mystifies me. I see a lot of people say defensive tackle is one of the top needs for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And
how many more do you need?
I don't know, right? I mean, that's what I look at, because you not only have guys that are your core three guys, and I get it, if you feel like Cedric Marks, a couple of season-ending injuries is a risk, that's fine. But Roy Miller has been very solid. You just signed Malik Jackson, and you have positional flexibility with guys like Aluwalu and Audric. They can both play tackle for you if necessary.
If you're
Avery Jones.
Looking at the depth chart on the internet, then you might think that. But in terms of the reality of the rotation, it's just like you said, Tyson Aluwalu moves inside and plays fine. You know, if you're worried about depth, he's fine in there. Audric, in certain situations, moves in and plays like a starter in there. So I would be surprised if at some point in this deep defensive tackle draft, if they don't take one at some point, I'd be surprised. I think that would make some sense. But to call it a need, if they're sitting there at the end of Saturday night on draft weekend and haven't addressed that high, I don't think anybody who's around the team is going to go, oh, my goodness, what were they thinking?
All right, so what are the top three needs and then the top five? And I ask it that way because you don't have to necessarily prioritize them. If you see them very close, give me, first of all, your top three needs. And if you have the order, that's great.
Well, I don't know that they're in a situation as much as they have been where they absolutely have crying needs. But linebacker, something on the interior of the offensive line at some point, but I don't think necessarily in the top two rounds has to happen. And then I think defensive end.
Where does cornerback fit in if it does for you?
Probably fourth.
Could you, I see them drafting at least one corner in draft. You got the Colvin suspension. Amon Kamara's only on a one-year deal. Beyond that, you have House, who you feel is a solid but not spectacular top end of the league starter.
I think they'll wind up drafting six, if they use all eight picks. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, given this, if Dave trades up and uses some of the equity to move up in maybe the second or third round, if he likes the guy. If they use all eight, I think it goes 6-2. I think it goes 6 defense, 2 offense.
With the great likelihood those offensive players are linemen.
Well, offense.
At least one of them.
Yeah, linemen and maybe tight end. You know, maybe if something jumps out at them. You know, they're also in a situation, remember, where there's not these glaring holes on the depth chart at starter anymore. So if you find a guy who just really dazzles you, okay, let's take one because we just think this guy's great value.
Right.
But in terms of defense, 6 guys, I'd be surprised if they don't use 4 on the back 7 just to try to get faster, 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 and, you know, 4 guys who can play special teams for you.
All right, we're 10 days out from round 1 of the NFL draft. What do you have coming up in the next couple of those days?
This week will be more focused on the guys coming back with the off-season program. Guys are checking in this week, so a little more focused on that front.
All right, gotcha. And then plenty of draft coverage, as there has been, but as we approach next week's 2016 NFL draft. John Osier. From Jaguars.com, senior writer, and on Twitter, at John Osier. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, we'll see you later. It is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Coming back, this date in football and the Honda drive around the NFL with Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. It's 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Tyler Devert's outstanding sports update. How about that?
Low news day, Mike. Low news day.
Hey, I didn't say there was that. I thought you did an outstanding job with very little to work with, much like we typically have in the off season on this date in football. Very little to work with. Today, not so much the case there. April 18th, go back to 1995 on this date. quarterback Joe Montana did what? He announced his retirement from the game of football. That's pretty significant. Many
sure.
people still consider Joe Cool the greatest quarterback of all time in the National Football League. But a bevy of high-profile birthdays today, Tony. I'll start with Gary Anderson. He played in the USFL in the very early days. And my favorite highlight of his days with the Tampa Bay Bucs in the NFL was when he did a complete forward somersault into the end zone from about 5 yards out, as I recall. He was born in the state in 1961. Now 55, many consider Wilbur Marshall the greatest defensive player in University of Florida history. He was born in this state in 1962, a three-time Pro Bowler and a two-time first-team All-Pro, primarily with the Chicago Bears. Carl Simpson, Florida State product, defensive tackle, played in the league for a half dozen years, born in this state in 1970. Likewise, on that same exact day in 1970, Willie Rofe was born. Willie Rofe turning 46 years old. How many Pro Bowls for Willie Rofe, Tony?
How many years did he play?
A bunch. A lot.
I'll go 8.
11. Yeah. 11 for Willie Rofe with 3 first-team All-Pro appearances. That'll get you in the Hall of Fame as it did Willie in 2012. Also, born of the state in 1973, guy we talked to not too long ago out in San Francisco, Derek Brooks, born of the state. How many Pro Bowls for Derek Brooks, Tony?
How many years did he play?
Quite a bunch of years.
I'll go 10.
11! When you play a bunch of years and you're a Hall of Famer, you make 11 Pro Bowls. 11 with 5 first-team All-Pro nods. That's pretty damn good, man. 11 and 5. He was inducted in the Hall of Fame in 2014. A couple of former Jaguars now. Born in this state in 1984. Red Bryant turns 32 years old today. And born in this state in 1987, Eugene Monroe turns 29 years old. And that, you have it in a nutshell, is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
My goodness, 5 first-team All-Pros. How many did Ray Lewis have?
I'll have to look that up for you. How about that?
6 or 7, maybe, considered the greatest middle linebacker of all time. In case you missed
one murder.
Yeah, in case you missed it over the weekend, you can't find that white suit. Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley and general manager Dave Caldwell were out in Los Angeles over the weekend to visit with linebacker Miles Jack. Jack had his follow-up look at his knee last week. He said there were no issues with the knee. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport said that some teams still might have some questions about that knee, despite Jack saying there were no issues last week. Houston has informed Brian Hoyer that they will be cutting in. The Texans went out and signed Brock Osweiler, re-signed backup quarterback Brandon Weeden during this offseason. Hoyer went 5-4 as the starter for the Texans last year in the regular season, throwing 19 touchdowns and 7 interceptions, but had a disastrous playoff game against Kansas City, throwing for just 139 yards and 4 picks in a 30-0 blowout home loss. The New York Jets have exercised the fifth-year option on defensive end Sheldon Richardson for just over $8 million. Rich Cimini, who covers the Jets for ESPN, is reporting that he doesn't believe the Jets and free agent cornerback Ryan Fitzpatrick will get a deal done before the NFL draft next week. The Jets still offering something in the neighborhood of $8 million a year to Fitzpatrick. They still don't have a starting quarterback there with the Jets right now. Some think that they may be looking to make a blockbuster move to move up in the draft at this point and get a future franchise quarterback, but no deal expected to be done with the Jets and Fitzpatrick until after next week's draft. And free agent running back Trent Richardson has officially signed with the Baltimore Ravens.
He's solid.
The earth has moved and shaken underneath his ample weight. Wow. Ray Lewis, 13-time Pro Bowler, 7-time first-team All-Pro. Ooh. That's a bunch. Now you're going to make me look up some other guys like Lawrence Taylor.
Tony, I'm surprised you didn't include Johnny Manziel in your in your read there.
Yeah, Manziel, he's
what do you do now?
He's partying again this weekend. He was out at Coachella, right?
Yeah, so Johnny Manziel's listed at, what, 6'2", 210? There's a picture of him playing in, like, a kid's ball pit, like, throwing balls, and he looks like he's about 170 pounds. He is tiny. He's lost a lot of weight.
What do you think he ever weighed, though?
I'm looking
they
right here.
Say list him at
210. He was listed at 210.
You buying that?
I'm not buying that.
He was never the thickest quarterback to begin with.
I'm 6'1", and this kid looks exactly like me. I'm 6'1", 170, and he looks exactly like my size.
Lawrence Taylor, by the way, is a 10-time Pro Bowler, 8-time first-team All-Pro. I don't know if we can come up with somebody who's made more first-team All-Pros than that, but we might be able to. I'm not sure. Who knows? Merlin Olsen or somebody maybe
right.
did. I don't know. Back in the day, Deacon Jones. I don't know when the first team All-Pro kicked
in. When did All-Pro start?
I think it's been around
start.
For a long time because, you know, when we do these stories day after day, I've come across some of the guys that you see played back in like the 1940s that are in the Hall of Fame, had more first-team All-Pro appearances than Pro Bowl appearances. So that may have been around as kind of an honorary title more longer than the Pro Bowl has been in existence.
The Associated Press started doing All-Pro teams in 1940.
All-Pro teams.
All-Pro teams.
When did the Pro Bowl start? What's the first year of the Pro Bowl would be the question. See, that coincides. That's a case where I actually said something that seemed accurate right there, backed up by fact. And
1951 for the first Pro Bowl game.
And there you go. Wow, I'm on my game this morning. How about that? I got a bunch on the text line. Let's get to some of these right now at 641-1010. The text line is driven by Duval Ford. Tony, let's see, going back in backwards order from the way we received them. Top three needs for the Jags: linebacker, pass rush slash defensive end, and cornerback. I think that's pretty spot on. I mean, that's, you know, you're talking about linebacker. I could go for a middle. I could go for an outside guy. I think you need to start to look to the future, and I do think that is an area that needs to be addressed, whether it's Miles Jack or later in the draft. No question about it. Pass rush, I definitely think they still need to add more to the pass rush. I think they've added some. I think Malik Jackson gets overlooked, Tony, because he's going to get some sacks, and he's going to hopefully have an impact, a ripple effect on the other guys on the line.
Well, we talked about it before they even hit free agency going into the offseason, that maybe the two best players they had on that defensive line weren't available to him for much of 2015. Dante Fowler Jr. is expected to be a pass rush guy, and Cindric Marks was a force for them 2 years ago when he was healthy. Now, is Cindric Marks going to be Marks? We don't know. We don't know what the answer to that is. It looks like he had moments where he was coming into form, coming off the ACL before he had the arm issue last year that kept him out and only allowed him to play in four games for the Jags last year. But is Cindric Marks going to be Marks, or is Malik Jackson basically going to have to fill that role where now you don't have two of those guys? You got one, and it feels like you may still have that one. How good a player is Dante Fowler Jr.? There's a lot of pressure on Dante Fowler Jr. with them not going out and getting a veteran to come in and help him out. They don't land Olivier Vernon, so the pressure all goes on Dante Fowler Jr. to basically be the injection of pass rush that this team was looking for in this offseason, because they haven't added anybody else that is just a pass rusher to what they're doing with this team right now.
Understood. Here's another one on the text line. Who do you think is the guy out there that nobody has thought of that could be a surprise pick for the Jags? And I'm presuming they mean with the fifth overall selection, because you get beyond the first round, and I don't know how you can be too surprised. There's a lot of permutations that can go into that. So is there a guy that you think could be taken at number five? And the way it's trending now, he'd have to be taken ahead of some of the ones that we're discussing, right? Because now we're expecting a minimum of one, very possibly and maybe leaning towards likely two quarterbacks in the top five with the trade-up scenarios with Cleveland. Who would that guy be? I'll give you my answer. The one I immediately thought of and responded to, and I'm not saying no one has mentioned it, but Shaq Lawson. You know, just maybe they like Shaq Lawson better than they like Bosa, and maybe they don't feel great about Miles Jack's knee, and maybe Jalen Ramsey is one of the couple of other players that come off the board, and you sit there and you say, well, you know what, he may be a reach in the eyes of some of the pundits out there, but we don't feel that way. We like him as, say, the fourth best player. We're getting him at five, and we're happy with that.
That would probably be my answer, too. It's not going to be Ezekiel Elliott. Hargraves is a guy that we've talked about at that spot.
He's been talked about more than Lawson, certainly.
Yeah. The only other answer I would have for you is if they really, really loved Leonard Floyd. And it would surprise me if he went at five, but it would surprise me if Shaq Lawson
It would surprise me a significant amount more if Leonard Floyd went at five. But that's the nature of the question, is who would surprise you, and Leonard Floyd certainly would. Who you got, a guy, Tyler?
I was just going to add a note here on Shaq Lawson. He had the medical recheck last week in Indy, and one team who did red flag an injury with Shaq Lawson was the Jaguars with a shoulder injury, according to Ian Rappaport. And they went back and checked it, and all's good. Thumbs up.
Yeah, everybody said that he came through with flying colors, and it was like almost like they at the medical the first time he went through, it wasn't that he felt like he had an issue with the shoulder, and some teams are like, that just sounds funny or doesn't move quite the way we thought. Let's look into that again. And it was almost like, all right, I'll do it. But it wasn't a case like Miles Jack where everybody knew he was going to be one of those guys, or like Todd Gurley last year where he came in. By the way, if you want to know anything about Shaq Lawson, just watch any kind of ESPN programming today, because he's in that, what do they call that thing?
The car wash?
The car wash, that's what they call it, right? Why do they call it the car wash?
I don't know.
I mean, the car wash refers to for ESPN means you're going to go on SportsCenter, you're going to go on, you know, NFL Primetime or whatever.
Radio, TV.
You know, you're going to do all the radio, TV, podcasts, the whole stem to stern, every ESPN property in one day. Boom, we'll fly you in, we'll put you up, you go through the whole thing, and then you're done, and that's the car wash. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you come out clean on the other side?
Maybe.
Let's see what else we got here. A lot of people weighing in on the poll question. Here's one because we've had a number of people put Buckner inject him into the list of, and that's fine, right? We wanted to try to pare the list down and make it as tight as possible. You got 140 characters to work with, the whole nine yards. So we're voting today on how you prioritize Miles Jack, Jalen Ramsey, Joey Bosa, Laremy Tunsil for the Jags, presuming they had the option of drafting any one of them at number five. How would you rank them? And so, in other words, who would you be happiest with? And then if that guy comes off the board, who's next? And so on. And some people have put Buckner in there in the middle of the situation, ahead of Bosa, whatever. Here's one that says Buckner shouldn't be thought of at the number five pick. He's going to be an underperforming average player in the National Football League. It's beautiful to have that sense of clarity. Now that we know that, why would anyone take DeForest Buckner in this draft?
So a few weeks ago, we had a huge discussion. I think Tony was gone during this week. He may have been at Augusta. We talked about weird draft terms and weird lingo these guys are using.
Yes.
So Merrill Hodge believes that Shaq Lawson is a one-dimensional player.
Does he run the arc?
I hope he runs the arc better than what Merrill Hodge believes he would probably run the arc at. And here's two direct quotes from Merrill Hodge on Shaq Lawson. No explosion in hands or feet and lays on people. Lays on people.
You JJ in the background is cackle at that. He just kind of lays around on people. That'd be how I'd play, man. Just do I weigh more than you? Let's see if you can support my body weight. Here we go. All right. Well, and also Shaq Lawson is in favor of a moderate size tie knot, which is a negative in Merrill Hodge's eyes.
I hope it's not a clip on. That'd be a bad look.
Hodge, I have not seen Hodge. Maybe what is he featured on these days? Because like in the afternoon, I'll watch NFL Insiders or whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
I don't know.
On ESPN, I don't see Hodge around a whole lot.
Maybe he's on SportsCenter from time to time.
He's still going to be rocking the baseball size knot, right?
Oh, it's ridiculous.
It's dumb, and I don't get. Doesn't make you any smarter. And just because we recognize you for it, you know, just because not all publicity is good publicity. Okay, that's a way big oversimplification. When a guy it gets arrested for murder, that's not good publicity.
No,
right?
It's bad.
And that's bad
Aaron
publicity.
Aaron Hernandez had a bunch of bad publicity.
Johnny Manziel's in the news, Tony. Is that all good publicity?
No.
No, it's not good publicity. It's bad publicity. So not everything that gets you in the news is good. What, Tyler?
Oh, my God. So I'm looking at Merrill Hodge's Wikipedia page. And as we know, Wikipedia is a page where anyone can edit it.
It's totally 100% always accurate. Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out what the latest with Merrill Hodge is. And I go down to his section for his broadcast career. And it says, you know, 1996, he was hired as an on-air analyst for ESPN. The next sentence, by the way, Hodge hates technology a lot, in particular mobile phones and computers. He spends a lot of his week trying to force cell phone towers around his metro area to lose power and thus causing the mobile phones to not work. Hodge has also been working with Chinese hackers for years to try and force America to go offline through computer viruses.
Matt, is this just like a random thing that the trolls have come on? Or is there something is he really like a Luddite? Does he not want, is he, you know, like Trump? The rumors are like Trump has never used a personal computer, ever, right? You can't find a photo of Donald Trump sitting in front of a computer. That's a thing, right? So people think, you know, he has people that do all the work on the computers for him. He's the idea man, whatever. I'm not making a political judgment here.
You don't even know what you're talking about.
I'm telling you, Donald, this is what people are saying about
you. I have a fantastic computer.
It's a huge computer.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, is it bigger than Merrill Hodge's tie knot?
Nothing else in this Merrill Hodge Wikipedia article is edited or seems false besides the one section about him hating technology and working with Chinese hackers.
Is he a guy? Now, maybe I'm just trying to convince myself. Is he one of these guys that stares at his phone like Schefter all day? He's not that guy,
no,
right?
While on set?
Not an information guy.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, if he's been with ESPN since 1996.
Right.
That guy's been employed by them for 20 years.
He's got a chisel and a slate and different, you know, he's got like a...
20 years. I feel like I have heard, like, Merrill Hodge talk. Like, he strikes me as a guy who may still be using, like, a flip phone. Like, he does strike me as one of those types of
guys.
He's
got a pager, Tony.
Yeah.
He's got a, if you want to get hold of him, it's really important. Just put 911, and he will call you right back.
Something like that.
On that. All right. Coming up next, we've got Russ Landy. He is the director of college scouting for the Montreal Alouettes and a longtime draft prognosticator. He'll join us.
We can ask him if he thinks that Shaq Lawson lays on people.
Does he just lay on people, and does he have the explosion in his hands and his feet? Okay? Sometimes that's good. Sometimes it's bad. Coming up next, Russ Landy. It is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here at Jaguars today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
Ideally, you're going to put him as your middle back because that guy can be your star like Luke Kuechly is in Carolina. He can upgrade the whole defense. And I will tell you, the reason I mentioned Kuechly is Kuechly was the best linebacker I've ever graded in coverage.
Really?
Until I graded Miles Jack. Miles Jack is a spectacular coverage linebacker. He's not just good or solid. He is elite.
Now, more Jaguars today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
That was the words, those were the words of Russ Landy. Last time we had him on, Tony, the director of college scouting for the Montreal Alouettes. Russ has been an NFL draft analyst for a long, long time with tons of experience. And you can check him out, RussLandy.com, learn more about him. Check out the GM Junior draft guide, as always. And he joins us here on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM. Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith here with you. Good morning, Russ. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing very well. We would like you to turn into, I don't know what you'd have to be to know what's going on inside of Miles Jack's knee, but if you could tell us, we'd love to know. Ever since you came on and told us that about Jack being not only a very good coverage linebacker, but the greatest you had ever graded on film, I've been so intrigued with this guy, and many Jaguar fans would love to see him in a Jaguar uniform, Russ, understandably so, but you know, right now there's a lot of trepidation because of the knee, the meniscus. We don't know how the Jags feel about it. What are you hearing, if anything, about the status of his health right now?
Well, what I've heard, and this was prior to the medical recheck, but what I heard was that basically teams felt confident that eventually, whether it was when the season began, halfway through the season, or maybe even next season, he would be back to the player he was prior to the injury. He'll be able to play this year, and the people I spoke to 100% go by the time the season began. But there are some teams that have concerns about, is there going to be long-term, are there going to be long-term issues with the knee? But the positive that a lot of, as they said, he went through his pro day, even though he didn't run the 40, he did vertical. He went through positional drills at both linebacker. He was exploding out of his cuts. So most of the people feel pretty confident that he will play. The question is this going to be a long-term thing where he may have problems sooner in his career with that knee that shorten his career, or is it not going to be a problem for the long term? And that's the real debate teams are trying to figure out.
The big news last week, obviously, regarding the draft, the Los Angeles Rams moving up to that number one spot in that trade with the Tennessee Titans, and it brings a lot of questions into play. Chief among them for Jaguars fans is how much does that up the likelihood of two quarterbacks going 1 and 2, whether it be Cleveland taking that second quarterback or another team wanting to trade in and get one of those guys? Do you think there are two quarterback prospects worth the number 1 and 2 picks in this draft?
I think there are the two quarterbacks, Goff and Wentz, are guys that are worth taking the top 5. And I think by the Rams doing that, it ensures that somewhere in that first 3 picks, I think you have to include San Diego's pick in there, all 3 quarterbacks will be gone. Because if Cleveland surprises everybody and does not take a quarterback, it's going to be ringing off the hook for San Diego. Because some team, whether it's the Jets, maybe, I don't even know the other teams that might be ready to jump up, or maybe the 49ers might be willing to move a few picks to ensure they get their guy at 3, to make sure they get there in front of the Cowboys in the event, figuring if the Browns don't take him, what are the odds that the Browns and the Cowboys pass on a quarterback? So I think what you'll see is those first 3, both quarterbacks are gone. That lets teams 4 through 15 really get a better pick of players because you're not having to worry about the quarterback situation. Those are out of the way. Better players will fall to you.
It would seem to me that, Russ, though, that the logic would be if there's a deal to be made, Cleveland would make that deal because they are in such a state with their roster where they lost every free agent of significance that they need bodies. So if there's a deal where a team wanted to come way up to number 2 and give multiple picks, that Cleveland would be open to that. Let me get your opinion. If you're in Cleveland's shoes, You know what they've got? They've got RG3 now ahead of Josh McCown on the depth chart. Are you drafting whichever quarterback is left over, or are you actively trying to trade that pick, or are you taking the best player available, period, regardless of what position he plays?
Well, I think the first thing is you as a staff, and they know this, we don't, how highly they think of RG3. They've broken down his film and decided this is how we think he fits in our system. If they really believe and are confident he can be a good starter for them, then they have to look at the board and say, okay, quarterback, yes, we take one if he's the best player, but we have to take the best guy on the board. So I think the Browns have to be really thorough in knowing what they have in RG3 and what their belief is. And then they can decide, do we feel comfortable staying at two? Is there one guy above everybody else? Or we like a lot of other teams, and we think the first 6 to 10 picks, there are a lot of talented guys, but not one above the rest. Then you trade down 3, 4, 5 spots, and you're still going to get a very highly regarded player on your board without having to use the number two pick, and maybe you pick up an extra first rounder or maybe 2 or 3 second and third rounders. So I think a lot of it comes down to what the Browns really think of RG3 and what their board looks like in terms of how many players are truly at the top of their board and where that separation starts to be between the elite players and the rest of the first rounders.
Assuming quarterback does go 1 and 2, San Diego at 3, kind of in the catbird seat in that particular scenario, where they basically have their choice of anybody in this draft because they aren't really looking to go get a quarterback in this draft there at number 3, which brings a lot of players into play. I think a lot of people, assuming once the trade was made, that seems like the logical landing spot for Laremy Tunsil. How do you feel about Tunsil as a draft pick? How do you feel about him coming into the league? Do you really think he is the elite left tackle prospect that some people have been saying he is?
Well, I think in terms of pure talent, if you solely grade the film and look at what he can do in terms of foot quickness, ability to slide out with leverage, handle change of direction, pass rush moves, I mean, he physically can do everything you want. I think the concern is there are times in games where he doesn't compete real hard, the bowl game where he didn't come out in the second half and play. Things like that just make you a little concerned about what is this guy's innate sort of mental attitude. Does he want to be great, or does he just want to get out there and be in a starting lineup? And that's the concern. I think San Diego would be in a catbird seat, like you said. I have a feeling if quarterbacks go 1-2, there's a good chance some team is going to want to trade up with them because there are going to be players, whether it's Jalen Ramsey, Joey Bosa, DeForest Buckner, or Tunsil, that some team says that's the only guy we want. We're in the top 10, but that's the only one we want. And they're going to offer San Diego a good option. So San Diego's going to have the choice of picks, whether it's Tunsil, Ramsey, Bosa, Buckner. But I think there's a good chance they may trade out of that pick if quarterback's still 1-2.
Out of those four guys, if you could, Russ, just kind of rank them overall. I know they're different positions, and it will depend on teams' needs. And if you want to get specific to Jacksonville, that's fine. But we've been debating Ramsey, Bosa, and Jack for a long time. And throw Buckner in there because I know you're very high on Buckner. Overall, just in terms of pure talent, how do you rank those four, maybe the top four defensive players in this draft?
Well, I think if you're just talking talent and ability at his position to be a dominant player, to me, I'd put Jack as one. Then I'd put Ramsey, Bosa, and Buckner. But if you're asking me to rank him in terms of where I'm going to draft him, I'm going to probably take Bosa first because to me, if the quarterback's the most important guy on the field, then the guy who can disrupt and screw up his game has to be number two. And that, to me, is Joey Bosa. Now, he's far from a perfect player, and he doesn't fit any scheme perfectly. He's the guy you're going to need to maneuver around and use your defense to sort of let him take advantage of his skills. But he can get to the quarterback. So, to me, if I'm ranking him for who I want Bosa, I want Ramsey, I want Buckner, and Jack. To me, a linebacker that's great in coverage and great against the run is great. It's fantastic. But if you're not getting to the quarterback, there's a lot less value. The Panthers' defense was good, but they didn't win a lot when Kuechly was running around making 180 tackles. They won a lot when they figured out how to throw the ball and move the ball on offense. So
right.
I like the middle linebacker, but it's not the number one priority on my defense.
Understood. And when it comes to Joey Bosa, I heard our morning guys, including Tony Vaselli, on this morning here on 1010XL discussing that they wonder, there's a school of thought maybe that Bosa's upside is limited because he is such a refined player already that he relies a lot on superior technique, that he has less room to learn new stuff when he gets to the pro level. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, there may be a little bit to that, but I think people are not giving him the credit for the athletic talent that he is. There are very few guys that are as long and powerful that can change directions like he can. And I think he reminds me a lot. A lot of people like to say he's J.J. Watt, and I don't think that's right at all. I think there's a lot, and this is only on the field. I'm not talking about character. I think there's a lot of Greg Hardy in the way he plays. He uses those arms very well to keep blockers off him. He can beat guys inside and outside. He can move all around the line of scrimmage and be productive rushing the passer. Both is a unique guy. He has to go to a team with a smart coordinator who can use him appropriately. But I think you can't worry about upside and potential. The key in the first round is getting a double. You don't have to get a home run. Just get a good 10-year starter, and that's a smash hit for a pick. And that's what Bosa is. He may never be a Pro Bowler, but he's going to be a 10-year starter for you, and that's what you want out of a high draft pick.
Do you think DeForest Buckner is a scheme-dependent player where he may be able to excel in a 3-4 defense, but a 4-3, without putting him in the right role, he may struggle?
I don't know if he'd struggle in a 4-3. I just don't think you'd get as much value out of him. Because what he is a big, powerful two-gap guy who knows how to control the point of attack. So in a 34, the five technique really is the most important guy in terms of dictating what the offense can do, because he can literally shut down a side of the field. That's why you look at this and you just get a little bit nervous about saying, hey, I'm going to use a top 10 pick, which is a rare special pick, a pick that you don't get very often if you're a good team. And do you want to risk it on someone who may screw himself out of the league? Or do you take somebody maybe like a Shaq Lawson, who may never be a great player, but you know you're going to plug him in for 10 years, and he'll be a solid, good starter who helps you win football games?
Cornerback seems like a position that at some point in this draft the Jaguars may address in the first three picks. Probably not with that number five pick, just with that trade going on, and it does seem likely that two quarterbacks are going to be off the board.
Ball skills, has a nose for the ball. Seems to play his best in key situations and has that attitude that you want in the corner, which is when I get beat, I'm going to come back and I'm going to do whatever I have to do to get back to that receiver. I'm not going to let him think he beat me. He's a guy that's probably 50-50 whether he's there at the top of the second round. The kid Eli Apple out of Ohio State, tremendous athlete, can great hips, can turn and run. I mean, he's what you want. Now, is he the prototype? He's not perfect yet. He's a better athlete than football player. But in terms of what he could be, he's a really special kid in terms of what he could be. So I look, there's definitely corners in this draft that you don't have to use a top five or top 10 pick to get. It's just a matter of whether you want to go second round, third round, and where you're going to find them. But there's good players throughout this, even the Harlan Miller kid from Southeast Louisiana that's probably going to be a third, fourth rounder, who some scouts have told me maybe the most purely physically gifted corner in the whole draft. But he's very raw and needs a lot of work on his technique. So there's a lot of talent this year at cornerback.
Russ Landy here with us for a couple more moments. Russ, most people look at the Jags' eight selections, understand the needs on defense, the explosive offense that they seem to be building through the draft and past years in free agency, and they feel they're pretty good there. And so maybe some picks on the interior of the offensive line for the Jags, but most of it's going to be on the defensive side. So we turn our attention now to the interior offensive line. Ryan Kelly is the Remington Award winner, is the top center in college football. He's been frequently mocked to the Jags with their second pick, 38th overall. He may go higher than that, but is he that much head and shoulders above the rest of the center class in this draft? Because the Jags are either going to play Brandon Linder there, where he's never really played at the pro level, or they're going to draft one and maybe have to start a guy right out of the gates.
You know, I like him, but I don't think he's head and shoulders above the rest of the centers. You have the kid Evan Bain from Missouri, and you also have a kid that's not getting a lot of discussion because he was injured this year, but coming into the year was generally thought of as the best center in the whole draft class, is Max Turk at USC. If Turk is healthy, and that we won't know until we get to the NFL season in terms of whether he's ready to start this year, but if he's healthy, he's the best center in the draft in terms of pure talent. He's a tremendous athlete. He's not a big kid. He's probably 200 pounds, 280, but if you look at the Eagles and you watch Jason Kelce play, that's who this kid can be. Rare athlete, can get to the out to the line. You would need to rush to take the first guy in this draft. There are some other good centers that you could pick up in that third, fourth round. To me, that's way too high. To me, he is a really, really risky football player. And to me, if you want to know, a defensive lineman out of Manitoba, Canada. This is a kid that nobody knew about in the NFL until the East-West game because he was playing up in Manitoba. Came down to the East-West game, was by far the best defensive lineman there. Now all the NFL teams have gone and gotten film. They've grinded on this kid, went to his pro day. This is a kid who's going to go potentially as high as the late second, mid-third round, worst case, fourth, fifth round. he's got starting potential as a defensive lineman in the NFL. He's 6'3", he's 300, phenomenal character, very good athlete. This kid, I think, is going to be a long-time starter in the NFL, an impact player, and somebody's going to get a great value for him.
Just repeat his name, if you would, because I think a couple of us missed it. I think your phone just dropped for just a half second.
It's David Umenyiv.
Okay.
And he's from Manitoba. If you look him up online, if you, I think it's O-Y-E-M-A-T-A.
Okay.
O-Y-E-M-A-T-A. This kid's the real deal. He's a really good football player, great kid, everything you want in a young man, and he's going to have a long NFL career.
Well, if we can't trust you on information coming from north of the border, I don't know who we can trust. Russ Landy.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's right, baby, the college scouting director for the Montreal Alouettes. How's everything going with the club, by the way? Everything good?
Things are good. I'm actually at Northwest today watching backup place kicker, who is a Canadian, potential Canadian draft pick. I'm trying to evaluate him to see if he's somebody we should take a look at and draft this year.
You got to comb the outposts, my man, for the backup place kickers. That is Russ Landy. He will know no bounds when it comes to gathering information for the upcoming draft, not only for the National Football League, but the Canadian Football League as well. Russ, always appreciate the time, my man. Always a pleasure, and thanks so much. Enjoy your time there at Northwestern. We'll talk to you hopefully soon, okay?
You got it. Thanks so much for having me on today, guys. I appreciate it.
You got it, buddy. Russ Landy. Check him out on Twitter, by the way, at Russ Landy. Landy spelled L-A-N-D-E. And you can go to RussLandy.com or GM Junior Scouting. That's GMJRScouting.com to find out more about what Russ has got going on. And he's always posting tons of videos breaking down prospects and the like on his Twitter feed. By the way, he backs up Merrill Hodges' assessment. Send Shaq Lawson. Now, he's not suggesting that's where he's going to get drafted, but said he's more of a second or third round player, not a, you know, second or third portion of the first round. He thinks not an explosive athlete like you like to see if you're drafting one of those guys in the top 10. So, hey, look, we all see the mock drafts. We see Shaq Lawson, Tony, frequently placed in the top 10 or just outside of it. That's a lot of pundits looking at it, you know? I mean, the guys like Russ Landy are breaking down the film. They're deciding, am I going to risk my career and reputation and my job status on a guy that I just don't see it on film?
Yeah, and I think from the outside looking in at the draft, you kind of, if you're a team that is really looking to get a pass rusher and it's not going to be Joey Bosa, then you're trying to figure out who maybe that second guy on the list should be in this year's draft. And it feels like Shaq Lawson has kind of filled in that space for, again, from the outside looking in. How NFL teams may feel about it could be vastly different. Like, Shaq Lawson may be a guy that there may be a lot of fans out there expect to be a top 10 pick, that maybe he does slide because he has a slow first step. Or with what Russ said, he sounds like Andre Branch is what he sounds like to me. He sounds like an effort guy with limited moves as a pass rusher. Now, look, I haven't looked at Shaq Lawson a whole lot on tape. He didn't flash for me a whole lot when I watched Clemson this year. I can say that in the handful of games that I watched the Clemson Tigers. But he's been a guy that's been considered in that top 10 to 15 range since the season began last year in college. And I think sometimes you just kind of hang on to that feeling about a guy, whether it's there on tape or not, I don't know.
How do you rank the top three defensive players in the draft along with Laramie Tunsil? That was our Tom Bush Family Dealership fan feedback question of the day. We'll look at that next on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I think if you're just talking talent and ability at his position to be a dominant player, to me, I'd put Jack as one. Then I'd put Ramsey, Bosa, and Buckner. But if you're asking me to rank him in terms of where I'm going to draft him, I'm going to probably take Bosa first, because to me, if the quarterback's the most important guy on the field, then the guy who can disrupt and screw up his game has to be number two.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Again, in a vacuum. And I understand this, Tony. The rankings, Jack the best at his position, Ramsey second in terms of being a superstar at his position, but the position is not as important as getting after the quarterback. Therefore, Joey Bosa, even though he'd rank third in that scenario to Russ Landy, he would draft him ahead of those guys. Much like saying, hey, Brian Egger was the best punter available. Well, he may be the best at his position. That's an extreme example. That doesn't mean that position carries
yes,
the
it
weight.
Is.
I'm just saying, you know, it's an extreme example. That's all. I recognize that. And because if you don't say that, if you don't clarify your comment, then people are going to say, he thinks this is Miles Jack is Brian Egger. What? Ah!
There's probably somebody out there who thinks I said earlier in the show the Jack should take Leonard Floyd at five.
Absolutely did.
That is not what
not
I said.
Not say that. See? There's a little key pause there. Tony, today we asked folks if you had a choice, basically, to rank Joey Bosa, Miles Jack, Jalen Ramsey, Laremy Tunsil in terms of their preference for the Jaguars' first draft pick. What did Twitter tell us?
Here's what we got from Adam. We got Jack 1, Ramsey 2, Bosa 3, 4, a sack of marbles, 5, Laremy Tunsil. From Chris, Jack, Ramsey, Tunsil, Bosa. From Duval Doom, Bosa is going to be down there on a lot of these lists. Oh, I like this one. Ramsey plus Spence, Jack plus Spence, Tunsil plus Spence, and Bosa plus Spence.
Now, does Doom, that's Duval Doom, because I know that that tweet. I saw it this morning. Does he suggest that those are the two first-round picks because they're moving back in there?
Yes.
That's what he, or does he think they get two choices with that,
no,
that selection?
That seems to be him saying they're going to trade back in regardless of who they pick. Even if they pick Joey Bosa, they're trading back in to go get Noah Spence there in the first round. From Jags and Goats, we got Jack 1, Bosa 2, Ramsey 3, Tunsil 4. Looking for instant impact, therefore Ramsey 2 raw to be higher. From Paolo, Jack, Ramsey, Bosa, and Tunsil. I don't think we can afford not to take defense with the pick. From Jason, Buckner 1, Ramsey 2, Bosa 3, Tunsil, then Jack at 5. Buckner is a special player. My opinion is he gets pressure where Audric can't. From Daniel, Bosa 1, number 2, Ramsey, 3, Tunsil, 4, Jack, and I don't trust him now. Hashtag sketchy, so some fans out there nervous about that knee. From Irish Jag, Jack 1, Ramsey 2, Bosa 3, Tunsil 4. From Enfuego, Jack, Bosa, Ramsey, Tunsil, speed is the key to this defense. Tunsil is so tempting, but we have to go defense. From Mike, Jack, Ramsey, Bosa, Tunsil. From Cristiano, Ramsey, 1A, Jack, 1B, Bosa, 3, then a bunch of periods all the way down to Tunsil at 4, so a big gap between those three defensive players and Tunsil for him. From Joey, Ramsey, Jack, Tunsil, then a few more guys, then Bosa. Ramsey over Jack only because of Jack's knee. From Eric, number 1, Jack, 1A, Ramsey, 2, Tunsil, 346, Bosa. Don't want Bosa at all. From Black Dog, Ramsey, Bosa, Tunsil, Jack's injury and rehab created nervous flags. Did Dave and Gus get the truth? From Nick, Ramsey, Jack, Tunsil, Bosa way down the list. Hashtag pick Jalen. And last but not least, from Lauren Brooks, number 1, Jack, linebackers are the best. 2, Ramsey, 3, Bosa, 4, Tunsil.
Huh. What happened to Broanko?
I don't know. We know.
Linebackers are the best. I know she
Scooter.
Went Skooks, yeah, with the Scooter Brooks pairing. You know, I think this was Lauren's draft wish list at some point in terms of the Jacksonville Jaguars. So we always appreciate her input here. I'll say this based on the returns we got today. And I'm not surprised particularly that they would not vote for Russ Landy to be in their top five next general managers if Dave Caldwell fails, because he would take Bosa over the rest of this crew. And didn't say specifically even for the Jags, just in a general sense that if you have needs at all these spots, Bosa may not be the most dominant in his position, but is the most valuable. And I'll also say this, Tony, you don't have to trust Miles Jack's knee. You have to trust Dave Caldwell's decision-making and whether or not he trusts Miles Jack's knee. Look, you don't have to trust anything, but that's a situation where we don't have enough information. I don't have enough information to say I don't trust Miles Jack's knee. I'm a little cautious about it because it's not, he hasn't been 100% cleared and given the big thumbs up from everybody universally around the National Football League, but we also know that as it gets closer to the draft, it doesn't benefit you to necessarily tell the truth or give the proper impression of how you feel about a prospect. So Gus and Dave will have to sit down together with the scouts and just finally, you know, rank the board the way they see fit, and that's whose opinion you're going to have to trust. They're a lot closer to the situation. They're privy to information we probably are not when it comes to Miles Jack. I would certainly hope that's the case. And so if he's the selection, I'm going to assume that they feel like this is not a major hindrance. As Russ said, maybe it impacts him early in the season, but most people don't feel it's going to be a long-term thing. The question is, can this regime afford to draft a guy who may not be 100% in his rookie season, even if you think he's the best player available? You get a split of opinions on that. Some people want to win right now, no matter what, and I understand it. And others say, no, you got to do what's best for the long term. But, you know, it's certainly something that's going to be under consideration from every team that's interested. I think beginning at number two with Cleveland right there. He's a possibility there if they don't trade out of the spot. All right, that'll do it for us today. Thanks to Wild West Guns and Gold. North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, everything from revolvers to sporting arms and everything in between. Wild West Guns and Gold will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the USA, guaranteed. Visit guns4jax.com. That's guns, the number 4, JAX.com. Or better yet, stop by South Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville for Wild West Guns and Gold. Call 693-0777. 693-0777. I'll say that one extra time. 693-0777 for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor. Thanks to John Osier from Jaguars.com for stopping in, and Russ Landy, the director of college scouting for the Montreal Alouettes. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt, signing off for Joe Fortunato. XL Primetime is coming up next, so keep it locked right here on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Rick Flap.
Woo! That's great job!
You guys have a good day. Peace.